Thank you, Pastor Ted. Thank you, choir. Thank you, all of our musicians. Special songs. I trust that your heart has been strengthened. As we think about these songs and think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is finished. He is risen. Our sins have been paid for, and our eternity is sealed if we believe in Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I look at our world around us. Just this morning, just read some headlines. ISIS is on the move as they slaughter Christians in various parts of the world. A new in-depth report shows that worldwide persecution of Christians, it's on the rise. Believers in Jesus Christ are being abused, imprisoned, tortured, murdered for their faith in Jesus Christ. Here in America, as in other parts of the world, the church is on the decline, it would seem. Christians huddle together in little groups wondering, what can we do about this? We feel powerless. Unfortunately, sometimes we become prayerless. We read about a German co-pilot who despairs of life, flies his jetliner into the French Alps, taking the lives of his own life and the lives of 150 others. Russia subtly makes its move on Ukraine, leaving many of us to wonder and many people conjecturing what's next. The Baltics, could Europe not be as stable as we might think that it is? At the stroke of a pen, freedoms and liberties are being taken away from believers in America. And listen, our world is getting darker. I'm not even talking about your own life and the struggles that you face personally. And Christians can lose hope. Christians can begin to fear. We feel like our life, as we have known it, is beginning to unravel. Things are changing so quickly, and we wonder if we have any strength left. But I'm here to tell you that the church has been here before. The church has been in the minority. The church has been the underdog. The church started out that way. The church has historically been persecuted, and this is not anything new. And so, dear believers, where is our hope? Our hope is in the resurrection. So I want us to say that together. I'm going to ask you, where is our hope? And I want you to respond, our hope is in the resurrection. So, church, where is our hope? Yeah, that's right. It's not in the pen of a president. It's not in the amount of oil that we have on the market. It's not on whether people are going to be nice in this world. Our hope is not in if we are understood as Christians for what we believe in Jesus Christ. That's not our hope. Our hope is in the resurrection. So what I want to do this morning is I want you to step into the light of the resurrection. Many Christians wonder, even believers wonder, what is this? You know, I understand Jesus rose from the dead, and I understand and I believe that, and I've received Christ as my Savior, but what's all the excitement about the resurrection? Many Christians believe it, they just don't quite get it in the daily. Because of the resurrection, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have hope, you have meaning. You don't have to despair in darkness. You don't have to be lost. And so we want to step into the light of the resurrection. And that's exactly what John chapter 20 is all about. And in John chapter 20, we have the responses of several people who were eyewitnesses to the resurrected Savior. Some of them came with doubt and unbelief. Some of them came with true faith. Some of them came with just despair. And if you were being honest, I have to say probably we have all of the responses that we find in John chapter 20 right here in this room today. The disciples of Jesus Christ who know Christ as their Savior can have many responses. And what I want you to do is step confidently and boldly into the resurrection, not just on Easter Sunday. Listen, if the resurrection is only true on Sunday or Easter Sunday, then the rest of the year, we have no hope. So So I want you to step into the light of the resurrection and to consider and to comprehend it for yourself. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power of God that he wants to work in you to bring you a new life. And so let me show you some ways that specifically you can step into the light of the resurrection. Now, earlier you heard John chapter 20, verses 1 through 9 read about Peter and John as they came to the empty tomb. And I want to start there, and I'm not going to reread that passage, but Peter and John run to the tomb. And the first thing that we see, how to step into the light, we step into the light and joy of the resurrection by what? By believing it. Do you believe it? You know, if you believe in the resurrection, it will change everything. Now, it won't change necessarily what happens to you, but it will change how you look at what happens to you. Peter and John, two of the elite disciples of Jesus, of anyone who knows Jesus the best in his 3 years of ministry, these guys get it. But even they were in the dark about the resurrection, and they were in a fog, and their minds were so filled with Friday and what happened on Friday and with the despair. And on Saturday, there they are. Their life has come to an end. The world has come to an end. They're probably wondering, 3 years, did we just throw it away? I mean, they left everything to follow Jesus. And yet Scripture says that they were blinded, they were hard-hearted, they were not totally believing, they didn't quite catch it. When it comes to the resurrection, believing in the resurrection, I see a couple of kinds of people in this chapter. I see, first of all, that there are some people who will not believe in the resurrection unless they see it. And that's what I see in Peter and John. Look at verses 8 and 9. Then the other disciple, that's John, the other disciple who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw, and what? And he believed. For as yet they did not know the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So you would think that Peter and John were sitting there on Friday and say, it's okay. It's all right. See, you and I, we read about the crucifixion of Christ, we say, it's okay. And we don't like it. But we say, it's Friday, and he's dying, and we know that he's going to rise from the dead, and we say, this is okay. It's going to end well. They didn't know that. They didn't have an understanding of the Scriptures. And so when they finally come to the tomb, what do they have to do? To believe it, they have to see it. I see another person in this passage who has to see it to believe it. Look at verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, can you imagine the excitement in their voice when they're talking to Thomas? We've seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. He says, I have to see it to believe it. The vast majority of people fall into the same category. They say, if you expect me to believe that this guy named Jesus was crucified and that he rose from the dead, you're going to have to get me to see it because I will not believe it unless I see it. It's kind of strange that these are the same people who believe any other historical event when there might be have just been one or two eyewitnesses to that event. Even Christians who do believe in the resurrection sometimes wish that they could see it. Have you ever thought that? I have. Man, I wish I could have been there. I just wish I could have seen that. Do you know the resurrection appearance that I would like to have been at most? Is the one we're going to read about in a moment, Mary Magdalene. So personal, so intimate, so close. That's the thing I love about Jesus. He saves everyone who believes in Christ, and yet he has such a personal relationship with each one of us, unique to each one of us. But some people will not believe unless they see it. The problem is, doesn't that pose a problem for you and for me? How many of you can transport yourself back in time to see the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Anybody can do that? I want to join you, okay? I want to go with you. That's the problem. We cannot go back in time. We can't get into a time machine and go back in time. So if you're going to believe it, you know what? It's going to have to be on something else. You're going to have to see it through the eyes of eyewitnesses who were there. Jesus knows our desire to see these things, but look at what he says in verse 29 of John 20. And Jesus said to him, that's to Thomas, when Thomas finally saw him and believed it, Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. He's talking about us. If you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have not seen it and yet you believe in it. So that leads to another kind of a person, the kind of a person that I hope you are this morning. You don't have to see it to believe it. Some people will not see the resurrection until they believe it. You believe it, and then you see it. See, Scripture gives us evidence. Here we are living 2,000 years after the fact, and we have eyewitness accounts of people who actually saw the living Christ. And what it says is, if we will believe because of what they saw, if you will simply decide and say, this is the evidence and this is what Scripture says and I'm going to believe it, then all at once it's like you're stepping into the light of the resurrection and you see that Christ truly is living and you see Him in your life and you see Him change who you really are. That's faith. You say, I do serve a risen Savior. He lives within me, and that's all the difference. Don't hang around in unbelief because you can't see it. Don't be like Peter and John and Thomas. Step into the light of the resurrection. How do you do that? You believe it. You don't hang around in doubt and unbelief. You don't hang around in this vague, you know, what you're hearing. Well, you know, Jesus really didn't rise from the dead. You know, every Easter, something comes out. You know, you ought to just kind of yawn whenever you hear about what's going to be on television around Easter time. Just expect it. Why are we surprised by this? So we step into the light of the resurrection by believing it. Secondly, we step into the light and joy of the resurrection by boldly proclaiming it. I see this in verses 11 through 18, but before we read that, let me just put this into perspective for a minute. And I was just thinking about this as our choir was singing it. A man is brutally tortured and murdered. It's done publicly, so everybody can see it. His body is verifiably dead. He's buried, he's put in a tomb, and yet people are saying that he comes back from the dead. Now, is that something to talk about? Is that something to talk about? Yeah. You know, if they had had Facebook back then, wow. You know, it wouldn't have been great to just put a little trail cam right by the tomb, post it on Facebook. Wouldn't that have been great? Even then, people would be going, is this video real? Who shot that? Oh, it's staged. And we put a man on the moon, and we show all of the spacecraft. We have the guys who were there to do it. We have even the audio footage or the audio clips of what took place on the moon of these guys talking back and forth to Earth. And we're still saying, did we put somebody on the moon? We can see it, but we won't believe it. It's a choice we make. See, we step into the light of the resurrection by boldly proclaiming it. You want to increase your joy in the resurrection? Start talking about it. Now look at verse 11. I think Mary had a very close and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. By the way, pause for a second. This is right after Peter and John have gone home. They look in the tomb, they believe. Mary, it's more than just belief. She wants Jesus. She wants to know more than he just rose again. She wants to see him. She wants to talk to him. So she stands by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. You know, isn't it interesting? You wonder if Peter and John had hung around, they would have gotten a huge blessing. See, that's what happens when you want to linger with Christ and you want to see him and you want to know him. You get a blessing that other people don't get. Verse 13, then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. Pause for a second. Why didn't she know it was Jesus? Have you thought about that? Why did Mary knew Jesus? She'd hung around with him. Why did she? Because he was in his resurrected body. A glorified body. A new body. The kind of body that we're going to have one day if you're a believer in Christ. Verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Wow. "My sheep know my voice." Verse 17, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me." She's hugging him. "For I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. What did she do? The first thing that she does is she starts talking about it. And that's what I want you to see. When we grasp the importance of the resurrection, the most natural thing is to talk about it. A dead man comes back from the dead. He's seen. How many people saw Jesus? 1 Corinthians 15:6, 500. Do you know how historically verifiable that is when you have 500 eyewitnesses? We don't question anything else in history when 500 people saw it. We don't question anything else. And yet people are today are saying, why are Christians still talking about the resurrection? Because 500 people saw it. Saw the resurrected Savior. I can't figure out why we keep talking about this resurrection. Mary saw Jesus after he arose. She talked about it. According to verse 18, did she just talk about it? No, she proclaimed it. There's a difference if you're just sitting there talking about the resurrection. Yeah, he rose again. No, she proclaims it. She says, I'm going to get up on every rooftop, if that's what it takes, to let everyone know that Jesus rose. When the disciples finally got it, they did the same thing. And historians, both secular and church historians as well, tell you one thing. The followers of Christ will never shut up about the resurrection. Right? That's what Acts is all about. You ought to go through the book of Acts and just read it this afternoon and just say, you know what? How many times did, wherever they went, they were talking about the resurrection? The people believed it so much that many of the apostles, under extreme torture, not one of them turns his back and says, you know, that whole resurrection thing, that was just a hoax. So you know that the resurrection has begun to take hold of your heart when you start talking about it. When you start talking about Jesus like he's here today. When you talk about Jesus, is it just something, this guy in the past, this historical figure? Or are you saying, look at what Jesus is doing in my life today. I spent time with Jesus this morning. I serve a risen Savior. He's in my life today. That's how you start talking and you start boldly proclaiming, he's in my life. That's when you know the resurrection is taking hold and you're stepping into the light of it. Now, there are many reasons why the resurrection is so important to the Christian. And we could do a whole study on that. I'm just going to list some of these. You've got a little room there in your notes if you're taking notes. You're going to be very disgusted with me because I'm going to go through these quickly. There are a whole lot of reasons that the resurrection is so important to you if you're a believer. First of all, it proves that Scripture is true. It proves that Jesus is the in-charge, all-powerful Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. It proves that Jesus has not only paid for our sins, but he's broken the power of our sins. Gives us dominance over the sin in our lives. It proves that our beliefs are not futile. It provides for a brand new spiritual quality of life. It shows that our salvation is complete. It shows that Jesus Christ is the living intercessor. And we can face death with peace, knowing that it will not end. Our lives will go on after the resurrection. Christ's resurrection guarantees our resurrection. And so the world around us is in darkness. Evil seems to be winning. Tyrants seem to be winning. The suffering of American Christians has just begun. But we have a joy. And we have a smile. And we have a peace. And we have a confidence. And we have a... Listen, you don't have that if you have not stepped into the light of the resurrection. Have you stepped into it by believing it and boldly proclaiming it? I received an email from some missionaries who were working with this tribal group, and this tribal group had not yet received the gospel. The missionaries had gotten there not much prior to this email, and they're beginning to share the gospel, but they hadn't been able to flesh it out completely where anyone was able to receive it yet. And a guy in the tribe dies. Man, what a pitiful sight. They wrap the guy's body up like a mummy. The daughters are filled with grief. One of these daughters throws her body on her dad's dead body, and she said, "Where did he go? Where is he? Where did he go?" That's hopelessness. Listen, grieving is a very hard thing. But can you imagine grieving with no hope? Some of you might not have a problem imagining grieving with no hope because you might not have the hope of the resurrection in your life. What you need to do is step into the light of the resurrection. Now let me show you the third thing about stepping into the light. When we step into the light of the resurrection, we experience deep and lasting peace. See, the resurrection is where you get your peace. You don't get your peace because the stock market is up. You don't get your peace because everything in the business is going well. You don't get your peace because you're healthy. You don't get your peace because your marriage is running great. You get your peace because Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. The Puritan Thomas Watson put it this way. God the Son is called the Prince of Peace. He came into the world with a song of peace. He went out of the world with a legacy of peace. Christ's earnest prayer was for peace. Christ not only prayed for peace, he bled for peace. He died not only to make peace between God and man, but between man and man. As he prayed for peace, so he paid for peace. Now here's the thing. Look at verse 19. Then the same day, that's the same day as when Mary Magdalene saw Jesus, Peter and John saw the empty tomb. At evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So the point is, Christ is here to give peace. And when you're living with the resurrected Savior, you have peace. So I have a question for you. Why are we so unpeaceful? Why do we fall apart in stressful situations? Why is it that we have this unresolved turbulence inside of us and this anxiety and this fear and this insecurity? Why do we have that? Because in some way or another, we've really not stepped totally into the light of the resurrection, because if you're living with the resurrected Savior, we're missing something, because he gives us peace. And somewhere along the way, even as Christians, we have to go deeper and further and inward into the resurrection of Christ. I notice a repeated phrase in verses 19 through 23. I notice the phrase, "Peace be to you." He says it in verse 19. He says it in verse 21. He also says in verse 26, "Peace be to you," or "Peace to you." He's communicating to them something. He's saying, "I'm risen. It's going to be okay." You ever thought about that? Next time you have a trial, the next time you have a question, the next time you have a fear, going to be okay. I'm here. I'm risen. The concerns of life pile up, the limitations, the illnesses, the relationship problems, the things that break down, it mounts up higher and higher like this huge mountain on top of you, and Christ comes along and says, "Peace be to you. I'm risen." Peter says it this way in his epistle, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." What is your living hope? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. As long as Jesus is alive, you have hope. If Jesus is dead, you have a dead hope. So that leads me to a question. Is Christ your personal Savior. I don't mean do you go to church. And I don't mean have you been baptized. I don't ask if you clean up really nice and live a nice Christian life in a so-called Christian community and a so-called Christian nation. I don't ask if you come from a good Christian family. What I ask is Jesus, your personal Savior. Yours. I don't even ask if you've made a profession of faith in the technical sense of the term. One day you will stand before God, and on that day you will have to face the question, why should God let you into heaven? Why? And you don't want to say, because I came from good family roots. That will not fly. You don't want to say, as a man said to me just this last week, well, I'm a good guy. But what does the scripture say? Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Well, I've been really nice to people, and I've given a lot of money to the church and to charity. Good things. But don't answer that way when God asks you why he should let you into heaven. Don't play the family card. Don't play the church card. Don't play the I'm good card. Those are all excellent things. Don't even tell God that you just believed that Jesus existed. No, you need to understand there's only one way into heaven, and that is by having Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, living within through the Spirit, cleansing you from your sins as your personal Savior. God does not save churches just because you're in church. God doesn't just say, Jamestown Baptist Church, I just save you all, poof, we're done. God looks at everyone's heart. God looks at everyone's relationship with himself. God looks at what we do with Jesus Christ, and have you received him for yourself? Christ paid the penalty for your sinful deeds by going to the cross. He provided atonement by offering up his blood, and his blood is the only hope that you have of cleansing from sin. Do you have this hope? Do you have him living within as your personal Savior? I invite you to tell him right now that you know you're a sinner and that you're trusting him as your personal Savior and that nothing else will give you eternal life. And because of that and that alone, you can have hope. So the peace of Christ comes when you experience the presence of the resurrected Savior. Christ brings this peace into his disciples' heart. The peace of Christ living within is part of the joy of believing in the resurrection. You know, when you step into that light, you have this joy, you have this peace. Whole thing. So if Christ hasn't risen, the best we could do today would be throw a few flowers on what we think might be his tombstone. That's the best we could do. If Christ is not risen, then guess what? I don't want to keep living a lie. But Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Now, I'd like you all to stand together. Are you living with hope? What I want to do right now is I want us to have a responsive reading. Now, I need you to just kind of watch the headings here, because right away I'm going to ask you, the congregation, to read something. And then I'm going to read something, then we'll read something together, and just kind of watch as each slide comes up what you're to read and what's going to happen, okay? So here we are. The first slide is for the congregation. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed altogether. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." He also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. congregation. If Christ is not risen, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I want us all to be able to say those words. Let's say it together. Not that I have already attained, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Altogether, Father, give us wisdom in the knowledge of Christ. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that we may know what is the hope of Your calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of Your power toward us who believe? This is according to the working of Your mighty power that You worked in Christ when You raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. So today, have you stepped into the light of the resurrection? Do you believe it? Do you proclaim it? Do you say, I'm standing boldly on the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, as we're here this morning, we are so thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, we could not live a moment without knowing this hope that we have. And yet, Lord, we know that there is a world of billions of people who have not this hope, living in darkness, trusting in who knows what just to get them through the day. So I pray that every believer here would be bold about proclaiming it, would be bold about believing it, Lord, that we would step into the light of the resurrection. And Father, for those here this morning who might not know Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would receive You. Now with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to just do business with the Lord where you are now. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you want to know Him? If you don't know Him as your Savior, you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, I would just invite you in your heart of hearts, if you believe these things, that you would say, Lord Jesus, I am a lost sinner. I am headed to hell without Christ. Please save me. You died on the cross. Give me eternal life. I want to make sure of that right now. If you've prayed that prayer, I want to know about that. I just want to share how you can go deeper in your faith. Father, I pray that You would help us to step into the light of the resurrection. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.